Jan, Dave. This may help you.
Hey, Jan. Yeah, Jake Frankel at Mountain Express.
Jake, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you? Did you get a chance to take a breather at all?
No. In fact, I came in the door and everybody's all excited about what I said about New Belgium.
Well, let me ask you in more general terms your thoughts on economic incentives. You voted to offer Linamar the economic incentives package, and it sounded like you wouldn't be as supportive of offering New Belgium.
And I can't really say that. My inclination is to not, because I think it has potential harm for an industry that's already existing here, and we have to really weigh those issues. But I would not say that I'm totally closed to it. You know, the reality is that even our local breweries, which Oscar Long is a great personal friend, Oscar has the ability to come forward and say, I'm thinking expanding, and what can you do for me? So, I mean, everybody has that potential. So I would not want to say that I'm just totally not going to. But I think my inclination would be that I would want to be very, very careful that we would do something that would damage an industry that's already here.
Are there any general guidelines that you would be likely to follow in terms of...
That I personally impose on myself?
When economic incentives are appropriate or when they're not?
You know, I think they're a matter of... there is a clearly outlined policy, and then we have to make the decision. It becomes a human-level thing when we have to make the decision to apply it. And I think my personal requirements are the job creation, the quality of the job, and the, you know, what it does for the community in general. I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of industries that would be very beneficial here, and there's some that's not. And I don't consider New Belgium not beneficial. I think it would be great. It adds to our beer city thing as long as we don't hurt our existing industry. Mm-hmm. So I would want to consider, you know, what they bring to the community when they come, and that falls into the line of job creation, the quality of employment it is for the workers, and how much local employment they would do. If they bring in 100 brewers from somewhere else, that's not helped us a lot, other than tax dollars. So it's not all just tax benefit. It has to do with, and tax benefit would be waylaid because that's how you base the incentives. It works toward our tax incentives are performance-based, so they have to come and be part of the community and do these things and actually provide before they get anything.
Yeah. What are some other ways you think the city can do? What are some other things the city can do to bring more jobs to the area?
I think it's very important to make sure that when we craft legislation affecting development ordinances, that we consider the impact it has on job creation. If we do something that makes our UDO becomes more onerous to deal with, it's just like for instance, the Harris Teeter that's getting ready to open or getting ready to start construction on the Deal Buick property, that required a zoning change. And if we were so onerous that they couldn't do that, they wouldn't be locating here, and that will create jobs, and it will create an opportunity for people living over there to shop nearby to where they live and to be able to walk to it. So, you know, those fit a lot of things we want them to do, but if there were too many obstacles, they wouldn't be doing that. So I think that our ordinance and creations and what we do to encourage business and encourage good quality business is very important. That's probably the largest one thing we can do. The other thing that we can do is consider the cost of doing business. Our fees and charges oftentimes may have an impact of whether something will be profitable or not here.
Yeah.
And fees and charges, you know, whether we like it or not, it's a tax. It's a tax on doing business. And I think those are some of the fairest taxes, but I think we have to be careful with what we do. The CIP fees we have on water meter size, for instance, it adversely impacts a lot of smaller businesses.
Yeah. Along those lines, it's looking like next year you're going to face a a budget where you might either face some service cuts or you might have to raise revenue somehow. Where do you stand on either cutting services or raising revenues specifically? Do you see some areas where services could be cut or some areas where you could raise revenues?
I think service provision is very important. I think that's what people expect when they pay their taxes, at a certain level of service. And we even have it in our motto, our quality of service, your quality of life. And those things are important to the constituents. And when they become, we have to make hard decisions, especially in a difficult budget time. And we've had an adverse time with our budget for the last 5 years since the dissolution of the, or 6 years since the dissolution of the water agreement. We worked with a constrained budget. And we are uniquely treated. We do not enjoy a revenue stream from the water supply, or the sewer is not ours, which is done in most municipalities. Even the utilities like electricity in many municipalities are. So we don't enjoy those things. So we have been working with a structural imbalance for a number of years. So that's not anything new to us. We have had to cut back staff and people for a long time. We have done that through attrition rather than just going in and categorically letting people go. But we're getting to the point where the jobs are beginning to diminish. And I think that we could face in a more downward economy, we can face even more of that. Although I will tell you, the building permits are up, and there are some encouraging signs about the actual economy here. In fact, our population has grown some. So, everything's not bad, but the indicators would be, and I would want our financial officer to consider it very conservatively, where we'll go into the next budget year, and there may be some reality to cutting things, services that people want and would like to have. And you have to do those incrementally. You have to look and say, how much do we need this particular amenity? And if we can find ways of doing it without raising taxes, then I would prefer that. But there will come a time, if the economy does not improve, that we will have to make a decision to either increase taxes or cut services dramatically to where people feel them. And I think that there are many things that people would prefer to pay a little bit more tax than to do without. I think core services are important to me, and that's public safety, that's a fire department that's very responsive, it's a police department that's very responsive, it is issues of sanitation. Those are things people want and expect, and when we don't deliver that, I think that you've only got two choices. You either got to have the revenue, or you've got to cut back what you're doing. I'm hoping that we'll experience some increase in opportunities for revenue stream.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, are there any areas that you think could be first in line to trim if you had to?
I would want a very detailed staff report showing what opportunities lies there. As I said earlier, we have been at a structural imbalance financially for a long time, and there's just not enough money to pay for the amount of people love Asheville. They come here, they utilize the streets, they utilize all the stuff, all the amenities. Our population today almost doubles, and sure, they're here shopping and eating and doing things, but it's not paying equitably for the amount of love they're putting into the city. So at some point, you have to say, we've got to do these things to make where we live better. And at that point, and I know all the candidates talking have been very adamant about streets and sidewalks and want to cast a lot of stones about the provision of those things. But we have dedicated a CIP fund for the next 5 years, or the next four after this, including this year, 5 years, that allocates $5 million for some of those infrastructure needs. And it is sidewalks. We put a lot of sidewalks on the ground. It is greenways. Those are things I would give up before I would, and this will crucify me, so I probably shouldn't say that. Those are things I would give up before I would give up public safety. But I think there's room for all those things if the community wants them enough.
Would you support this idea of a bonds referendum, putting that choice before the voters?
I would certainly. That would be the way we would have to get there. I think it would require a big education campaign, and I would not want to put it in place at a time that I felt like it would fail. So, you know, that's not something I think we need to be going into immediately. But that's the only way I would be supportive of a referendum would be, I mean, a bond would be to get the community where that's what they want.
Mm-hmm. What about affordable housing? This is another major issue that is becoming increasingly important to voters. What path forward do you see to increase affordable housing options in the city?
Well, fortunately, I've had a great look at that the last couple of years, as I'm one of the three people that serve on the Housing Community Development Committee. That's the committee that actually makes the recommendations for allocations of CDBG funding, Housing Trust Fund funding, outside agency funding. So I've had a really good close look at it. And our greatest need in this community would be affordable rent property, the apartments and that sort of thing. And the opportunities to create those from a city standpoint, as we're seeing those funds probably on a national level start drying up, is to partner with great partners, whether they be for-profit or non-profit, like Mountain Housing Opportunity, to continue to build that sort of housing. I think there's a great opportunity with riverfront redevelopment. There's some land down there that might be the catalyst to have mixed-income housing developed in the riverfront area that puts people living there. And I would want mixed income and mixed use to where there are jobs and places where people live, and with a good mix of affordable and market rate housing. So I think it's very important. I think that the realities of putting workforce or affordable housing near where people work is a very good thing, but everybody doesn't work downtown, so we got to consider other places where people work and make sure that we're doing the right job to incent for-profit and non-profits to develop housing. That's probably our greatest contribution. The Housing Trust Fund, we've not been able to fund as fully in the last several years, but we get great bang for the buck on that. So, you know, as the economy would improve, that would be another direction, is to improve the amount that's in the Housing Trust Fund. That's a loan that pays itself back, and it's been very successful in helping our partners build affordable housing.
Yeah. Another issue I've heard a lot of people speak about this season is the city's relationship with the General Assembly in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Now, you've been on the council for a while now. Do you see that relationship worse now than it's been in years past? And if so, what do you think can be done to kind of improve things?
I think with the change of paradigm in Raleigh that we have, we've been sort of hurt. You know, obviously, our water system is in study committee to see if they can actually remove that from Asheville's authority. Regret that. I think that the airport authority elected, the board made an election of a move to have that become an independent authority without even talking to us up front, and I think that was encouraged by a member of our delegation. So I think we are in an adverse situation. On the other hand, I think that we've had great opportunities to sit down with the delegation, and probably more so in recent time than we had a few years ago, although the former delegation, former leadership, did a great job for us when we had all of our difficulties with the dissolution of the water agreement, and ultimately saw that we were such good stewards of that system that they allowed us to use 5% of the revenue stream for replacement of infrastructure needs when we put new pipe in the ground. So if we go in and put water pipe in the ground, we can put new pavement and sidewalk, curb and gutter above that with revenues that are generated by the water. And that was a great partnership, a great great concession by our legislator, Senator Nesbitt, put that in place along with Representatives Fisher and Weldon and probably somebody else. But anyhow, that was put in place like 2 years ago, and so they were really good in that relationship. And I value our relationship today with the legislators, and I think that Representative Moffitt has a much greater feel for. We've met with him individually. Councilmember Mannheimer, myself, had a great opportunity to talk to him about the study committees, and I found him to be very receptive to what we were saying. And, you know, I'm sure politically it's a different day and time than it has been in past years, but I think we at least have conversation going. And then something I'm very proud of, I think we got the very best relationship with county commissioners we've had in my entire tenure on council. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to call the commissioners dear friends, and we're really amenable to working together to get things done for a community.
Yeah. What are some of the other things you're most proud of accomplishing in this last term?
Well, in this last term, obviously, I've been working on it for several terms. It's been the fate of the Civic Center and recognizing that we could not build a new one. And I personally favor where the old one is to be able to develop partnerships that have resulted in it being refurbished. And it's going to be a building that will take us, you know, many years out. It will be a quality gathering place. It will be a great event center. And with the refurbishment that was created by the partnerships I helped form, that one I'm very proud of. And part of the reason I want to stay on council is the you know, we used the Southern Conference. We were successful in a bid for the Southern Conference's return. At the same time, we put together a sports commission and the county, the city, Tourism Development Authority, and UNCA have all been at that table, and these relationships are what's enabled that to happen. And I feel like we're going to get the next 3 years of the tournament here, which will enable us to have better entertainment in the building, because the building will just be refurbished and new and feel good, and entertainers will want to come. So these are economic drivers for our downtown. It's very, very important. That's been a huge issue to me. Downtown issues are important to me. As a business owner downtown, I've served on the downtown commission and was a proponent of bringing the downtown master plan forward to fruition. I haven't liked everything about it, but it was giving consideration to what the future holds for this city in the downtown. It's such an important part of the generation of revenue for all of our citizens. So that's been a huge part of what I have done. I particularly enjoy my position on the Asheville Area Riverfront Redevelopment Commission, and I helped start that commission. I was one of the founding members of it. And I'm seeing a lot of good work, a lot of collaboration among property owners down there, and the vision that we see for the future of that area and what becomes a reality will be that's our new frontier. That's the new opportunity that will be very much like the downtown in its rebirth. So that's a big issue to me. That's one that's very important to me. I'll enjoy being a part of that, and I think we need to, you know, we got to retain what's there that makes people want to be there. We've got to improve the environment down there. We can't do it at the expense of the environment, but we've also got to make it an amenity that people want to visit, do business, and live. Again, the creation of affordable housing is very good. Involved with the large Green Glen Rock, and those are all things that are controversial, but at the end of the day, in the block, I've worked really hard on the Eagle Market Street area, and to see that finally coming to fruition has been something I've been very proud, pleased with, and glad to have the partners at the table, Mountain Housing, those folks to do that. Other issues, there's so many levels that I've been very involved over the years with planning economic development. Those are largely things. We get that 30,000 foot look at UDO changes, and that's always had interest to me, and I've always enjoyed that part of my career on council. But, you know, probably the biggest contribution I have brought to council in the 8 years I've been there has been consensus building among council members and just trying to look at things pragmatically and try to get things to a better way of life for everybody. I'm not so locked into a position that I won't change, and I'm not so locked into my preconceived ideas that I won't be open to do what's coming forward. I think I've been one of those people that has been I've brought balance to a lot of issues. You try to, at the end of the day, get to a good place for a lot of people. And that's our main job, is to make sure that we represent people.
Speaking of having an ability to change your mind on things, you had originally voted against offering domestic partnership benefits to city employees, correct?
That's correct. I voted against that issue because mainly the way it was brought forward, it was brought without, it was brought as a reactionary move rather than a thought out what it's going to cost, how it's going to affect people, the degree of difficulty that will create in the community. And I later voted for the equality measure because
I
feel that we're all created equal and that sexual orientation is not a that's not an item that differentiates people. They should be treated differently.
So why exactly that change? It was
two different issues.
Yeah.
The first one was brought forward without being thought out of how to do it, what it implied as far as cost. It was like, as you may know, I was involved in trying to offer the community an opportunity for a racetrack on some land near the airport several years ago, that there was enough votes on council to do it, and it seemed like a good thing to do. But rather than just walk in and say, staff, we're going to have a racetrack, I got enough votes to do it, build it, or seek people to build it. That's much what Gordon did when he came in with the benefits package, the domestic partner benefits. He just walked in and said, do it. There was no staff report. There was nothing there that I could vote for. It's a good idea. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've only had two employees take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Was the process different for the equality resolution?
Yes, it was much more thought. There was consensus built. There was examination of the cost, an examination of how to do it. You know, there was ideas put in place about what department would handle it. And, you know, we've only had 25 of those registered, but it's been a very important thing to those 25 people.
Are there any votes in this last term that you've made that you have regretted, or any areas that you think you could have done a better job on?
I think there's always an opportunity to say I wish I had voted a different way. I was trying to be supportive of the Ingalls expansion because they were in the process of making a decision about their expansion with the lighting on the expansion on the I guess it was the Skyline store. They were expanding their location there. They wanted a sign package and a lighting package. The lighting was way out of context for where we were at, but they were at the same time making consideration about locating their distribution warehouse here or in another city altogether, which represents 600 jobs. So I really felt like we needed to be supportive of them, and frankly, it was the wrong call. It was too much change to our ordinance, and I regret having done the lighting part of that. I know the sign portion, the sign package was fine. We've made that decision with a number of other people. Our sign ordinance has been very difficult, and we've made major changes to it categorically as a council, so I didn't have a problem with that, but I would like to pull the vote back on the 80 lumens.
How are you going to win this thing this year, Jan? What's your strategy?
On the campaign?
You know, going forward here.
Well, you know, I think when you're there 8 years, people are either going to vote you back in or they're not. We're not going to, I'm taking it seriously. I really do. I've got signs. I've got trying to raise money. You know, we're doing all the things a campaign person does, but at the end of the day, I think my position in this is that people are either going to be supportive of what I have done, or they're not. And, you know, they may send me fishing for the rest of my life, which is great, but I hope they'll keep me on because I feel like I bring a lot to the council.
Well,
And I want to be there because I love this community, and I feel like being in that position, I certainly feel like I do a good job of representing a lot of people in this community.
Well, Jan, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Appreciate you interviewing.